Well, it's a great autumn day in Auckland today. This is Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, and that was our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself, with some great messages about respecting others, respecting yourself, very important messages in mental health. Well, I'm Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, is brought to you and funded by Framework. Now, this week I was immediately hooked when I read a Kiwi had written a self-help guide to personal growth and healthy relationships, and all I had to do was just one thing to change my life forever. Well, having spent a few weeks in hospital recently and still coping with depression, I thought, well, maybe this one thing that is recommended in this book might be just the thing to turn my life around. The marketing information supporting the launch of the book says, and I read here, emotional and intimacy issues which contaminate relationships are solved in this book, along with a proven strategy for enhancing all aspects of personal connection. And boy, isn't personal connection important, particularly when we get depressed or when we have a bout of low mood. These insightful answers can transform an individual from feeling frustrated, insecure, and isolated. Now, aren't those three things often so much part of our mental health? Feeling frustrated, insecure, and isolated, and they can turn us into a happy, radiant, and confident person. Jackie Oliver, the book's author and our guest today, is considered by many to be a leader in forward thinking, an engaging and transformational speaker, as well as a provocative, dynamic woman in the field she specialises in. Well, boy, Jackie, that's that really is setting you up on a pedestal. This entails sexual malfunction problems, and in fact we've had Jackie in the studio I think some years ago talking on the impact of sexual malfunction on our mental health, and she's also specializes in emotional issues of what attracts or detracts in relationships. That's something I need to know about too. Jackie confidently states there is no related problem which phases her in the least. Now, she's also been recommended to contribute as an advisor to the government's new social and mental health policy, which I assume is the review of mental health, which is being talked about. So welcome, Jackie, to Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. There's some bold and courageous statements there. Obviously, writing this book has had a positive influence on your self-confidence.
Had the confidence before I wrote the book, which enabled me to write the book.
Oh, well, that's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Do you think you've got a bit of a boost of confidence in actually achieving the writing of this book?
Well, yes, it wasn't so much the boost of confidence in writing the book. As I said, that was there and that enabled me to write the book. What gave me additional, delicious awarenesses was that so many other people found the book valuable as well. It was one of the reviewers who CC'd me in on the email to the Prime Minister and other government leaders recommending the techniques that I share in the book. And then another reviewer has asked that I co-author. He's a medical specialist who has just been awarded an international humanitarian prize to co-author medical books with him, because he believes that my methods should be included in all health training programs.
Wow, well, that's quite a compliment to you. Now, you mentioned prize there. I think we have a copy of this book. Doing this one thing will change your life forever. The Self-Help Guide to Personal Growth and Healthy Relationships. I'm going to avidly grab, I've got a copy here, which Jackie has thankfully, well, very graciously given me. But we've got a copy for the first person who would, one of our listeners, to ring in on 815-8100. So anybody who would like a copy of Doing This One Thing Will Change Your Life Forever. I'm trying to say doing this one thing well, but it's not doing this one thing well, is it? It's doing this one thing will change your life forever. So what prompted you to write the book, Jackie?
I wanted to leave a legacy. The thing is that every emotional response, whether we call it anger, disappointment, fear, anxiety, frustration, annoyance, these can all be neutralized in the moment that they are triggered. Unresolved, those emotions become a trigger which lead to depression, anxiety, mental health issues. They lead to physical abuse. The instant anger is repressed, it can result in a fist flying, as all, and also sexual abuse and sexual harassment. The need for us to connect, the need for us to feel accepted, the need for us to feel like we belong, those needs are fulfilled at the end of the emotional response, because we're no longer fighting ourselves. We are in alignment with ourselves in that moment. And when you're in a space of being in full personal alignment, you don't feel the need to abuse, to control, to condemn. You don't have the need to put others down. You don't have the need to control them. You don't have a need to overpower them. Those are generated from an unresolved emotional state. So I wanted to create this legacy and get it into every public library in the world. And that's my aim, is to get it into the library so that everyone has access to understand how to resolve these emotional responses quite literally with the ease of a sneeze.
Yeah, so when did you actually launch the book?
It was published November last year. And then I thought, well, this is a crazy time to try and promote a book. And so I just started sending out review copies, and it's starting to gather momentum.
And you got a Facebook page for it?
Not specifically a Facebook page, although I do have a Facebook group called Real Easy Love.
Ah, Real Easy Love. Well, that sounds rather lovely. Yeah, I was thinking of those emotions that they often rise up outside my place, because there's a sort of a turn in front of my apartment where downhill traffic has to give way to uphill traffic. And there's clear arrows, just like on a one-way bridge, that certain people have got to give way, and they are the people that are coming down the hill, because there's a hill there. And it's amazing how many people actually don't even know that you're supposed to give way to uphill traffic. The anger that is shows itself on this little turn, I'm just trying to think exactly what it is, what it's called officially, is quite amazing. Horns, people are getting out of cars, horns are sounding. So the one thing that will change our life forever in that sort of situation is that we don't react. Is that what you're saying?
Not allowing an emotional response to resolve is what causes us to react verbally and chaotically. So, for instance, using your example, when someone gets to an intersection and they have to give way or they don't want to and they're in a hurry, whatever is going on, in that moment that the emotional response is triggered, it doesn't matter what we call it, it's frustration, it's anger, it's disappointment, it's like, oh shit, I need to get to this appointment on time. Whatever it is, it starts off with intense physical discomfort. It's a momentary discomfort, like the sneeze is a momentary physical discomfort. And in the moment we stop fighting that, the emotional response resolves in that moment. And so instead of an emotion escalating out of control, either physically, verbally, the way that emotion tends to, seems to overtake us, it's not the actual emotion that's overtaking us. It's the fact that our conscious mind is becoming involved and our conscious mind analyzes everything we do, every input that comes in through the senses, all of our life experiences. And so our mind starts analysing the emotion and how the emotion relates to the situation.
So what are some of those thoughts? You know, if somebody cuts us off in traffic or they don't give way to us when they're actually asked to give way, what are some of the thoughts that could come into our mind to make us frustrated or angry? Or
you were already angry and frustrated well before that event.
Oh, really? Okay.
So what happens is we're taught, if we go back in time, we're taught from about 2 or 3 years old to suppress an emotional response. And so when we suppress that emotional response, we try and do it to enable someone to feel better. And usually that's one of the adults around us.
Right.
And so when we get upset, there is 9 times out of 10 an adult trying to pacify us, say, it's okay, you don't need to feel that way, pat, 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 rub on the back, or go stand in the corner, don't come out until you've thought about why you're feeling that way and
so
how
we're
you're going to
we're
apologize.
Talking about a child here.
This is right, and this is when it starts.
Right.
And then we go through school. We're not allowed to be angry, not allowed to be frustrated, not allowed to be disappointed. We're not allowed to be happy unless it's playtime.
Right.
And so we learn to suppress the emotional response, and so we stop just allowing it to be there. So we don't need to encourage people to be angry, to be frustrated. You can look someone, you can see when someone's being upset, and you can look at them and just say to them, I can see that you're upset. It's okay for you to feel upset. Just shrug your shoulders like, it's not a big deal. It's okay for you to feel upset. And in that moment, you're in a state of non-resistance yourself. So they're not feeling waves of resistance coming off you, which is what most people react to.
Right.
And then
so
we get
it's
to...
It's not, say, a little thing that happens on the road. You say that people are already angry, they're already frustrated, and they're not really allowed to express that. So it's all caught up inside, is that...
They're not allowing themselves to resolve it. So they've trained themselves from a young age to either ignore the physical sensations of an emotional response or try to make it go away, then that's generally because it feels really uncomfortable and we don't want to feel worse than we're feeling, and that's obviously making us feel worse. So then we try and think over the top of it, but the emotional response doesn't resolve. It's like dialing in between two radio stations and only experiencing the static. And so we never feel calm, we never feel clear. And so when we're at home and our partner leaves the toilet seat up or leaves the lid off the toothpaste or doesn't put the remote away or just something silly like that, we start getting these burrs under our skin. It's like, oh, it annoys me when he does that, or oh, that annoys me when she does that, and why can't she just do this for me? I've already asked twice.
Right.
I've thought about it 100 times, but I've said it out loud twice. And so people don't understand the extent of how much something is bothering someone else. Mm. And so we don't make those little adjustments to how we interact with other people and ourselves that neutralize an emotional response and stop it from escalating out of control.
So this emotional response like when it happens, is that when we've got to address it and do something about it? Is that the one thing that will change our life forever if we immediately have some sort of calming strategy, maybe like mindfulness, or we think about a peaceful stream, or is that the technique that we have to apply?
Well, that's a more complicated process, which can work, but the reality is that all you need to do is when you notice that you're feeling disconnected mentally, emotionally, or physically, when you're feeling out of sync mentally, physically, or emotionally, it indicates that an emotional response has been triggered, and all you need to do is switch your attention to allow the discomfort of that moment.
Right.
So you're switching your attention from the external situation of what appears to be triggering you, and you switch your attention to allow the physical discomfort, the momentary awareness of discomfort, and in that moment the emotional response resolves because you're no longer fighting it.
Right. So it's about, I've been told over the last few weeks that I need to sit with my discomfort. I need to sit with the emotional sort of upset.
See, that's going to cause you problems, because the fact of the matter is that an emotional response, the physical component of an emotional response, only lasts for about 2 or 3 seconds as you allow it. Right. So if you're sitting with it, like you switch your attention to sit with it, it's there in that moment. And then a second later, 2 seconds later, it's not really there. And then you're like, well, where is it? I can't be doing this right. I'm obviously not doing this right, because I'm supposed to be experiencing this discomfort and it's not really there, but now I'm starting to feel anxious and I can't be doing this right. So you're actually triggering another emotional response.
Right.
And so your thoughts and your analysis of the emotional response will trigger more of them. And then you seem to be in a loop. Well, why is it working for everyone else and it's not working for me? And what am I doing wrong? As soon as you involve your mind in it,
yeah,
it's going to jail you. And so you're going to feel right, like you're caged in a constant state of a negative thought and a negative emotion, a negative thought and negative emotion.
Yeah, boy, I certainly know about the mind jailing me in negative thoughts and catastrophizing and that sort of thing. We better take a music break and just remind our listeners that the first person to call, take it from us on 815-8100, will get a copy of this book by Jackie Oliver, our guest today. It's called Doing This One Thing Will Change Your Life Forever.
And if they would like to give us their first name, I can personalise the autograph for them.
Oh, the little message. Wonderful. Well, let's take a music break on Take It From Us.
Good. Well, I've got for you Glenn Campbell with Wichita Lineman if he decides he's going to behave. And no, he's not. I had problems with this last time. Here we go. For the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wire. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, and we've got Declan with us. We've got our guest Jackie Oliver, who is the author of a book called Doing This One Thing Will Change Your Life Forever. And one of the key issues that I think we need to try and simplify is, how do we resolve, like, let's take anger again, because anger is one of the emotions that seems to be quite unacceptable in New Zealand, particularly in the workplace or socially. You know, if we're feeling angry, Jackie, and even we may have expressed our anger, how do we resolve the emotions associated with that anger? And the upset that we might have caused other people.
As soon as we resolve our aspect of an emotional response, it removes the resistance which feeds anger between two people. So, for example, if we've got three examples here, let's start with one of them. So if, for example, somebody is saying something to you, you're in a situation and somebody is saying something to you and you just feel yourself reacting. You can always feel yourself starting to react. And this is when, instead, if you stop putting your attention on feeling yourself react, you will start to think about why you are reacting, and that will cause you to go out of control. So if you feel yourself, feel that physical reaction in response to what someone is saying or a car pulling in front of you, whatever it is that is triggering you, if you feel yourself, feel that physical reaction, instead of dumping it on the other person, this is the part that takes a little bit of practice, and this is what I go into in the book, is you switch your attention back to allow that physical discomfort. So you're understanding that the emotional response takes about 2 or 3 seconds to resolve as soon as you stop fighting it. That's one of the key understandings. Right. And so you switch your attention to allow that discomfort. Now, you can continue looking at the other person in the eye while they are offloading on you, because everybody has unresolved emotional response. And this is why we're constantly feeding off other people's anger, other people's fear, other people's anxieties. And it escalates out of control on a big country mental health level. Right. And when we resolve our own emotional response, so we switch our attention to allow the discomfort, as soon as we stop fighting it, as soon as we stop analyzing it with our mind, it's gone. It's neutralized. Now, what you will see in the other person, you'll start seeing the reality of why they're upset. You will hear what they're not saying, what they're leaving out. You'll hear the emotion in their voice. You'll hear the hurt in their voice. You'll see that they are just really trying to feel noticed. And so you will understand more of the person in that situation on a much clearer level, because you've tuned your dial of the radio station. Because when the emotional response resolves, you're in full alignment with yourself, there is no confusion. And so then you are more likely to be able to respond to that person. It's like, oh, wow, I really didn't realise that you were feeling that way. Because when we try to block an emotional response when someone triggers us, generally we start thinking about what we're going to say in reply. Right. So we're not actually hearing what they're saying.
So this is—it's almost like a mindful tactic. Is it fair to say that this is sort of like mindfulness?
There are similarities, but it's just an understanding of how your brain works, and how your brain responds to these situations. It responds with an emotional response. Mm. It's uncomfortable. It's intense. As soon as we stop fighting it, it's gone, it works like a reset button.
So it might respond by making us frustrated, making us feel insecure, making us feel isolated.
That's the end result of blocking an emotional response.
Right. So what you're saying is that we're not dealing with these emotions in a healthy way.
We're not allowing them. We're focused more on the mental aspect of why we have them, which can keep you in therapy for years.
Right.
Just talking about why you think you're feeling that way. Or you can understand that an emotional response is a normal human response triggered 40 or 50 times a day in a normal state when we haven't got things going on. If we're feeling in a depressed state, then we tend to have negative thoughts about ourselves, negative thoughts about other people, we're just completely focused on a negative tangent, which is triggering many emotional responses, which when you don't know how to resolve the emotional response, keeps you in that endless loop.
Well, I think the thing with depression is that it sort of deludes our thinking. It deludes our reality. It completely takes the joy out of life. I think that's what is so incredibly damaging and dangerous and undermining.
And the reason why that happens, if I may interrupt, it's because you're trying not to feel that way.
Right.
And the more you try not to feel, the more you separate yourself from reality, because to feel happy, you need to feel happy. You can't think happy.
Right.
Happiness is a feeling. Peace is a feeling. Mm. Joy is a feeling. If you stop an emotional response, you're training yourself out of awareness of feeling, which means by default you're also depriving yourself of feeling happiness, of feeling joy, of feeling connected.
But if you are in a state of depression and can't find joy in things, you feel helpless, frustrated, hopeless, that sort of thing. I mean, what would your suggestion be? People have given me a positive affirmation to say over and over again. What other things have they?
Okay. So if you're trying to say a positive affirmation over the top of emotional response, so you realize that you're feeling like crap, you're feeling really depressed, you're feeling like the world hates you and everyone in it has friends and everyone else is getting along and everyone else is happy, but I'm not. And I used to refer to this when I used to do it myself as having a pity party, a self-induced pity party.
Right.
And I could think myself into depths of such despair that I wondered if I would ever find my way out of it. And so what I found was that once I developed the emotional turnaround technique, because nobody could help me get out of my funk.
Right.
And all the talking that I was doing was just digging me deeper into it. And then I had this awareness of when I stopped fighting the way I was feeling, then I suddenly felt a little bit better. So you feel incrementally a little bit better and a little bit better. So every time you notice that you're having a negative thought, that usually triggers an emotional response. So then you've got that reset button that you can just press by allowing the discomfort of that moment. Mm-hmm. At the end of that moment, it's like at the end of a sneeze. It's like, achoo! And then you kind of pause for about 2 seconds and it's like, oh, right. And then you get on with your day. the emotional response is the same. There's a pause at the end of it. It's like a power pause. It's like this point of balance. And then you've got to fill the void, because the universe will always fill a void. And so then you need to redirect your thoughts. It's like, well, even though I'm kind of feeling like crap, yes, I'm feeling like crap, but I'm sure I can feel a little bit better. I know I can feel a little bit better than right now. And I'm just going to turn my attention to thoughts that make me feel a little bit better. So incrementally, you're turning away from thinking about the problem all of the time, and you're just starting to redirect your thoughts. And that's when things that bring you into a greater awareness of feeling. So that's where animals are so good. You just get lost in the deliciousness of their fur.
Right.
Seeing a hawk flying over. In that moment, this time of year is lovely for feeling the sun because it's not so hot. And so you just become aware of that sensation and just how nice it feels. Now you're starting to train yourself to become more aware of how nice things can feel. And when you're in a feeling process, you're not in a thinking process. You can't think and feel at the same time. So by default, you're not thinking about all the things that depress you, because your conscious mind can only focus on one thing at a time. Yeah. So incrementally turning your attention.
I mean, how important is it to be present, you know, to live in the now? I mean, that's probably one of my major strategies, is to be present, even when I was eating my breakfast this morning, to be present about the porridge that I've been recommended to eat. You know, the good food, the muesli, the fruit and those sorts of things. To be present.
To be present is to be more aware of how you are feeling than how you are thinking. Yeah. When we are worried about the past, analysing the past, contemplating what makes us feel depressed and why that happened, then there is no awareness of the present, because you're thinking. You can't be aware of sensations. There's no awareness of feeling. Whereas when you're focusing on what you're doing in the present moment, and there is no resistance. Mm-hmm. See, depression is a state of resistance. It's resisting your thoughts. It's resisting your emotions. It's resisting everything because it makes you feel uncomfortable. But everything that makes you feel uncomfortable is usually related to an emotional response.
Right.
And so you can use that to reset.
Or a thought.
Well, the thought will trigger the emotional response. So if you think of an emotional response as being a reset button, it's not this big deal. It's only a big deal because your mind will make a big deal out of it. Mm. But when you switch your attention to allow the physical component of an emotional response to happen, like you allow a sneeze to happen, then it's just that moment in time. Mm. And from that moment in time, then you can reset your point of focus. Now, remembering that an emotional response is a normal human response to life, it's triggered 40 or 50 times a day. You get 40 or 50 times a day to allow an emotional response that leads you into peace by default. It leads you into a feeling of connection by default.
Right.
That's what happens. That's the end result of allowing an emotional response to happen.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about peace, actually, over the last few weeks of being unwell, and I think peace is a concept that I've recently been sort of introduced to, and I think I've added it to some of my affirmations. And so many of these apps that are on your mobile talk about peace or achieving peace. You know, that feeling of peace, I think, is something that is worth capturing. I mean, isn't this all about being patient and being gentle and kind to ourselves and not getting upset? And you know, a lot of people talk about fighting mental health, fighting depression.
Yeah, as soon as you get your mind involved in the act, then you're entering into a mental debate. And yeah, it's like playing table tennis, mental table tennis. He said, she said, this happened, that happened. The key to restoring mental and emotional health is to understand how the programs work. Mm. And they're quite simple. I believe in making things simple and making them easy. That's why my program's Real Easy Love. Like, easy is emotional balance, attraction alignment. So that's understanding how emotional and sexual attraction work in a relationship, sexual function, you and your partner. If you have all of those components, then that makes for an easy relationship. When you have an easy relationship with yourself, it's real. Resistant emotions alter life. If you're resisting your emotions, it affects your work environment, it affects your family environment, it affects your interactions with your children, it affects the way you feel about yourself.
Well, certainly it affects your mental health. Yeah, well, let's take another music break. How's that little bit of equipment you've got there working, Declan?
Well, I'm hoping when I plug it in, it's going to behave itself this time. Otherwise, I'll be having stern words to it when I get home. But this track here is called Stargazing. And it's got a guy by the name of Kygo, K-Y-G-O, who's behind it. But let's see what happens. Touch wood.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
I'm a host of Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown. We've got Declan here, and we're talking today to Jackie Oliver, the author of a book that, in fact, we're giving away on Take It From Us today. We've got a copy here. If you don't feel like calling, you could email me at sheldon.brown@framework.org.nz. Yes, we were talking before the music break about peace, and Jackie wanted to say it's a special interest of mine. I think that achieving peace and perhaps doing that by being respectful, our theme music talks about being respectful to ourselves and to others, and maybe that's one way to achieve peace, Jackie.
Well, you respect yourself and you respect others when you resolve your own emotional responses to life. They're yours. Whatever trigger you, they're triggered in you. You deal with your own emotional response, and then you allow yourself in that moment to instantly feel connected with others. So you contribute a great deal towards world peace in doing this one thing as well. What I wanted to touch on is that our brain, our subconscious, has a huge database of all of our memories, all of our life experiences. So the times when we have experienced peace, there are times when we have experienced happiness, just happy moments. See, people want to feel happy and they want to feel love all the time and they want to feel joy all of the time and they want to feel peaceful all of the time. And yet the reality is that an emotion, the emotional response lasts for about 2 or 3 seconds, whether it's a negative emotion or whether it's a lighter, positive, happy emotion. The emotional response only lasts for 3 seconds. So we get this rush of love or this rush of happiness, and then it's gone. And then we're forever trying to pull it back into our lives, thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I hold on to this? And that's a depressing thought in itself. But because our subconscious is like a database, we have a hard drive of all of these memories, which we can switch to at any time and use them as a springboard to feeling good. We have happy memory. We may have happy memories of being at a beach or being with our favourite pet or being with family, whatever it is that just really fires you up in a most delicious way. And you have a memory of that. You have a memory of how that feels. Now, you can bring that memory into the forefront and just remember how good it feels, and you can, in that moment, reactivate those feeling good feelings. Mm. So you don't actually need that to happen. Now, what I wanted to lead this to is the reason why so many people have addictions is because they don't think that they have the ability to feel good themselves. And so they will think about having, for example, a cigarette or an alcoholic beverage, and they start thinking about how good they are going to feel when they have that thing.
Well, it might be a Valium or a diazepam.
It will be whatever it is, but you start contemplating how good you're going to feel when you have that thing. So as you're contemplating how good you're going to feel, you start switching into the programs which regulate your breathing, your heart rate, your blood pressure, relax your muscles and make you feel good. And that's what's actually making you feel good. But you associate feeling good with having that thing. Mm. So then if you decide to give that thing up, then you're like, well, how am I going to feel good without that? And so you start thinking about how good you would feel if you had that thing, but now you think you can't have it, and that triggers an emotional response.
Well, that triggers fear, doesn't it?
That triggers the emotional response. Yeah. So if you resolve the emotional response, you stop fighting it, you just allow that moment, then you have in that moment brought yourself into that feeling of peace and connection, which removes the need for that thing external of you to make you feel better. And right. I've helped so many people resolve addictions within days. They've come to me with a different problem, mentioned they have this. Oh, do remember to apply it to this.
Right.
Every time you feel the need to have that thing, you can switch into the thought of how good it feels when you're having it. And it does exactly the same effect on your brain. You're not resisting it. Therefore, the emotional response isn't triggered. Or if the emotional response is triggered, you switch your attention to allow that discomfort and it's resolved and the need is resolved.
Right. So you don't take, you don't become addicted to that thing that you think creates happiness and fun and joy and that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, why do you think there's so much demand from people for self-help books or help with their lives? I mean, there are a lot of people struggling today with today's challenges, do you think?
It's not the challenges. The challenge is their own mind and the resulting emotional responses which are triggered and not knowing how to deal with those, which keeps them on that endless loop.
Right. So, I mean, would being thankful more often, would that be a good way to break that loop of negative thinking and unhelpful thinking? Do you think if we were more grateful, you know,
a second step. That's the second step. The third step. The first step is to resolve an emotional response in the moment that it's triggered. It's the fastest way to instantly feel better.
Right.
And then that's that reset. So there's the understanding that you have to direct your thought process from that point because the emotional response, allowing the emotional response, just resets your focus. Then you've got to choose the direction that it's going. So you can go into thankfulness from there. Perfect. If you try and be in an unresolved emotional state and you try to be thankful from there, it's like, well, I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that and I'm not really feeling better and my life is crap. So you're not getting anywhere with it. But you resolve the emotional response first. It's like you may notice that you're having a negative thought that's like you switch your attention to allow the discomfort of that moment. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's so intense it'll feel like it's going to bowl you over. But as soon as you switch your attention to allow the discomfort of that moment, the resistance is released. It's gone. It's non-existent. And you feel connected and peaceful in that moment.
Right. Well, I'm having a little difficulty sort of capturing how this works. This is the thing. It's this sort of emotional response, and how we manage that emotional response to allow ourselves to be healthier and not depressed and not mentally anguished.
I was just going to quickly jump in there and say that when you were saying what you just said, that the fight or flight caveman response came to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that moment of interrupt. It's like a moment of interrupt where you're thinking along this thing and then it's like it's usually something like that. It can be a little bit different from person to person, but generally it's that momentary feeling of disconnect. And so what you're doing is instead, if you try to ignore that feeling of disconnect, then your mind will analyse all possible scenarios.
Most of them negative.
Yeah. And so when you switch your attention to allow that moment of disconnect, and it's just a new habit that you're forming of doing this, it doesn't matter when you remember to do it. Because the moment that you switch your attention to allow that moment of discomfort and it's remembering, it's only a couple of seconds. I'm just allowing this.
Mm.
I'm just allowing this moment.
How do you stop that feeling? I mean, you mentioned people that may have financial problems. They may be suffering grief. They may have no housing. You know, these are constant things that really undermine people.
Yes.
They're big issues. How do we manage those sorts of challenges?
Those are what we need processes in place, and there are many support organisations around that help with financial aid, that help with housing, which help with resolving all of these different difficulties that we can face. What happens is that when you allow an emotional response to resolve, then you have a moment of clarity where you suddenly feel inspired. Oh, I have a feeling to do this. And it might be to ring a person you know who, and then you just say it, you're just talking to them, and then they say something, it's like, and it starts connecting the dots.
Right.
And so what the allowing the emotional response works like that reset button to remove your resistance, so that instead of feeling like the world is conspiring against you, you start feeling guided to do this and directed to talk to this person and picking up the phone and doing this or going for a walk, which makes you bump into that person. And so then things start lining up for you.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a wonderful concept, and as I say, we've got a copy of Jackie's book here. Doing This One Thing Will Change Your Life Forever. Healthy relationships. What are some of the critical issues in order to foster a healthy relationship, do you think?
It's understanding emotional balance, because if you're not emotionally balanced yourself, then you are going to feel needy of your partner, or you're going to try and control your partner so that you can feel better. It's understanding what both of you need from the relationship. So we need to be self-responsible for our own emotional balance, because we're the only ones who can achieve that.
Yeah.
We need to understand how emotional and sexual attraction works. Now, the main pillars are emotional balance and sexual function in a relationship. And then there are things of importance in between them that tend to interrelate to either of those things. So when we're emotionally needy, then we tend to smother our partner and we become reliant on them as our source to feel better. And that's a huge strain, because they've got their emotional responses to deal with as well. And that tends to make someone withdraw or run for the hills. And then there is sexual function. Over a third of the adult population suffer from what I call sexual malfunctions, premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, being unable to achieve orgasm. And that's mostly due to the fact that we have a safety-focused sex education system, which does the equivalent of, for example, a teenager wanting to learn how to drive a car. Well, here you go, son. Here's the car, a key and a fuel voucher. Off you go. And then expecting them to succeed on the road.
We're seeing the result of some teenagers driving cars at fast pace and killing themselves. I think just at the weekend, two 16-year-olds succeeded in doing that somewhere north of Christchurch. Yeah. Well, let's take another music break. Declan, what have you got for our third track?
Well, this time I've got from that movie, what was it called? Dirty Dancing, I think it was. Way, way, way back. The song She's Like the Wind. Callum Scott plays this one. Anyway. Oh, we're behaving again. You always take it from us, of course, on Planet FM 104.6.
Just fooling myself. This should stop the pain. just a fool to believe I have anything she needs. She's like the wind.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm Sheldon Brown. We've got Declan here and our guest, Jackie Oliver. It says here something that Declan sent me during the week. It's a wonderful little, I think, thing that we can observe. A pat on the back goes a long way. And this is some research done by the University of Cincinnati in the States. It says telling your children you are proud of them, helping with their homework, or saying that you appreciate them are all actions that can reduce children's thoughts of suicide. Yes. It says here, kids aged 12 and 13 years old who were rarely told by their parents that they were proud of them were a staggering 7 times more likely to attempt suicide than others of their age. Even teenagers up to 17 years old are more likely to plan suicide when their parents do not engage with them. The lead researcher, Professor Keith King, says to help prevent contemplation of suicide, the best advice is to get involved with your children and demonstrate you care about them. So, you know, even in, amongst us adults, I think just putting our hand on a person's shoulder, giving them a hug, it's all pretty critical, Jackie.
I can see that you're upset. It's okay for you to feel upset. Allow them to have that moment because they've been suppressing it since they were a child, and that will help them to come back into balance.
Right. And how do we when we see that upset, what's the best thing we can do, do you think?
Again, it's acknowledging. Everyone wants to feel acknowledged as a human being. We want to feel acknowledged. We want to feel heard. We want to feel understood. So if we're obviously visibly upset and you say to this person, I can see that you're upset.
Hmm. You've got a link that you can give us in the next 11 seconds, please, for the book.
Mybook.to/doing.
There we go. There's the link. So the book is Doing This One Thing Will Change Your Life Forever, written by Jackie Oliver, our guest. Okay, we're out of here. We'll be back next Tuesday at 12:30 on Planet FM 104.6.
Indeed. Catch you then.